Very hairy.
What? Do we have to start up again?
Fred Cavanaugh speaking. We've just come out of executive session where we were talking about a personnel matter. And we have before us right now a vote after discussions. We need to determine whether or not we want to go statewide search, for statewide search, for applicants for the Aiken City manager's position. And the details will come, will follow at a later date. This determine when applicants go out and applications go out, or the time limit for them coming back. So the issue before us is to council: do we want to do that? Is there a motion and a second to?
Mr. Mayor, I move we do a statewide search for candidates to replace our city manager.
Okay. Do we have a second?
All second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is any further any discussion?
I would like to add to what Councilman Dewar said about leaving the procedure up to the current city manager as far as timing, deadlines, timelines, and so forth.
Okay.
I would agree to that.
Any other comments?
Okay. Modify your.
Certainly, I agree to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor? Show of hands, please. Okay. Passes unanimously. Thank you. And that ends our meeting.
Second adjourned.
Adjourned.
We are.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aiken City Council work session this evening, and September 27, 2010. And we have one item on our work session this evening, and we are so pleased to have the Aiken County Leadership Group with us this evening for this purpose. And I would like to ask City Manager Roger LeDuc to introduce the group.
Earlier this year, City Council decided to go ahead and put funding inside of our 1 cent sales tax, which is coming up in November, and hope you're all supporting that, because there's $155,000 in there for an accessible playground at Aiken Library Park. The agreement that we had was that the leadership for Aiken County this year would go ahead and raise some funds to not match it, but to go ahead and support that, which you all have done in a great manner. We wish we were out at the library park right now. Well, actually, we don't. A little messy out there, but we're really happy that you're here tonight, and I'm not too sure if Heather or Charles or who's going to introduce this. So if you'd like to just come on up here. And
Nicole.
Emails kept saying different individuals.
We can have them all speak.
Good evening. I'm Nicole Simmons, president of Leadership Aiken County, and I want to thank Mayor Cavanaugh and the entire City Council for being as supportive as you have of this project. I'd also like to recognize the Leadership Aiken County board members that are here tonight, and without them, who are all volunteers, this organization would not exist, so thank you to them. I'd also like to thank the Aiken Standard, who has definitely put the word out there about our project. Without them, a lot of people would not have known about it. So thank you to the Aiken Standard. I'd also like to thank Glenn Parker, who has been our city liaison. And whenever we needed him, he was there, whether by email, telephone, he was there. And we really appreciate that, Glenn. I'd also like to congratulate Charles and the class members. They have worked tirelessly this year. When we assign a class project, you never know what they're going to come up with, and I can't be prouder. And on behalf of the board, I'd like to congratulate them and thank them for definitely putting leadership on the map. And we definitely want to thank everyone who's present here tonight. I see some city staff as well as some of the children that will actually be playing on this playground. So thank you to them as well. I'd like to introduce Heather Raynack, who is a class member and a graduate of last year's class, and she'll tell you a little bit more about the project. Thank you.
Hi,
Thank you. On our way up here, we were very last minute, and there's a rainbow outside. I don't know if any of you had a chance to see it. But we had a rainbow, and my son is over there sitting next to Darius, and we had a discussion about how much money we had raised and how much money we still needed to raise and the cost of things. And he said, "Well, Mommy, I think we can find it at the end of that rainbow. Let's go see." So we haven't quite come up with our whole pot of gold yet, but are definitely moving towards those pieces. So like all classes, we have an opportunity to decide what we want to do to make a positive growth here within our community. Our class definitely had a voice and concern with the idea of finding a place where children could play together regardless of their abilities or their disabilities. And we took this idea and began to grow with it. What we researched, we found out a lot of shocking things. One thing was that there are over 3,000 children with disabilities here in Aiken County that attend Aiken County school system. And that's a large population. I think a lot of times we think it's a very small, but 3,000 children is almost 12% of what our schools serve, being children with special needs. We also realize that the closest truly accessible playground is in Augusta across the river, which causes a financial burden and time burden. Anyone who has children know that, you know, to plan something more than 30 minutes out is a really big undertaking. So the other thing that we found to be truly shocking became the cost of a playground like this. We worked with Glenn to look at different options of pieces, and what we realized was that a playground of this magnitude is about $175,000. And so what a lot of people, and we've educated a lot of people too, is actually what is a truly barrier-free playground and what that actually means. And we actually have some renderings up here that I encourage everyone to take a look at. This allows a playground to be a piece where children can get on it regardless of height. They can be in a chair, they can be standing, so the PlayStations are you're able to actually get to access and play on all different levels. That's on the ground as well as up high. There's ramps versus steps. There's auditory pieces with a playground, and there's also tactile pieces so that there's different feeling and textures. A lot of the different pieces we've looked at, they actually have some musical components so that, you know, children who might have vision impairments and maybe stronger with auditory pieces have some pieces that they can play at the playground and actually bring in that piece, or vice versa. So it makes for a very interesting dynamic. And the biggest thing that comes out of it is that kids just want to be kids. Kids just want to play. They don't care where. They don't care how. They're going to play. But to actually have a place where kids can play together and the obstacles aren't so obvious or painfully obvious is a really nice piece to have. And so we decided that that was definitely something that we as a class felt like there was a true need for here in Aiken County and wanted to move forward. And that's how we developed our All Play Every Day campaign, which really began to educate people to what it was like to have special needs, what it was like to have truly accessible versus unaccessible pieces. We began to use all different campaigns and modes to do this, everything from articles in the paper to news press on the TV, anything and everything where we could tell a story and have a chance to let people know what it was like, we took that opportunity to. And I'm very grateful for support with the city on including this type of funding into the 1 cent sales, you know, the tax. That would be a great opportunity to actually bring back something that everyone could benefit. And it's not just the child in the wheelchair, it's the child next to the child in the wheelchair. I want to make sure that my son grows up who, you know, I'm very fortunate that he's very healthy and doesn't have special needs, but I want him to recognize that it doesn't matter what your needs are. It's a matter of just being a kid. It's a matter of just playing and a matter of being friendly and helpful with everyone. So what I wanted to do tonight was definitely thank some of our families. We have Jocelyn, who, and she's here with her father, Arthur China. I wanted to thank them for attending tonight. And Darius, you even going to look at me, Darius? Darius, I'm talking to you. Darius Cummings and his mommy, Shonda Gardner. They have all been an inspiration for me, and I hope that I have been an inspiration with our class to help move forward this need and this cause here within our community. I want to thank you guys and let you guys know that we will not forget, and we will keep pushing forward and keep advocating for this. And the challenges that you occur on a daily basis are what inspire us to do what we do on a little basis every once in a while. So thank you very much. Thank you. At this point, I'm going to hand it over to Kevin Morrison, and he is going to tell you a little bit about how much we raised and what our process was.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you again for having us. My name is Kevin Morrison. I'm going to raise this up a little bit here. My name is Kevin Morrison. I'm one of the Leadership Aiken County classmates here. And I had the honor of introducing or recognizing those that have contributed financially to the project. It goes without saying in this particular economic time that raising funds is not the most difficult, is not the easiest thing to do, rather. But those that have contributed, there's no way that we can personally thank each and every member, every person in the community that has gathered together to support this, because there's been plenty of opportunities for people to contribute that has not been on a financial side. But for those who have contributed, it's obviously made the difference of the $27,000 plus that we've raised. So with that, I'd like to simply thank some of the corporate sponsors in the community, starting with today's platinum sponsor, our first and our only platinum sponsor, $5,000 or more. Budget Sprinkler Systems has donated $5,000 worth of in-kind donations for the, I'm drawing a blank on the, the landscaping, correct, yeah. So Parsons was our first silver sponsor, followed by Hitchcock Healthcare. Then we have Carriage Hills Living Center, SRP Federal Credit Union, Savannah River Nuclear Solutions, Augusta Developmental Specialist, SCENG, Aiken-Sertoma Club, Carolina Muscular Skeletal Institute. It's not very easy to say. Friends, we have $500 or more, SRR, Savannah River Remediation. Pamela Mark and Alyssa Frazier, our own classmates here. Aiken Regional Medical and Aiken Electric Cooperative. So these are just a few of the contributors that have really enabled us to move forward financially for raising the money that we have so far and meeting the goals that we have. But again, I would echo the sentiments from a previous classmate, Heather, in saying that we will continue down the path and trying to increase the funds that have been raised with other components and other fundraising activities, and hope that everybody within the community will recognize the benefit of the one sales tax to allow that to pass and benefit this playground and the kids that would benefit and take great joy in participating in that activity. So without further ado, I guess I will turn this over.
We're going to present the check now.
Oh, I guess we're going to present the check now.
You have the check?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Much. I almost missed the real thing here. Just want to say on behalf of City Council, and they can say it for themselves as well, but thank you so much for what you've done. I know it's taken a long time. I go to church with Kevin, and we talk about it on Sundays, and y'all have worked very hard,
And thank you for raising this much money for this wonderful project. And it'll certainly be a great asset for our 3,000, and maybe all of them will come and use it. Hopefully they will, and others. But it's just another way that the city of Aiken can do something, you know, very well, and be maybe a leader in this area. So we really appreciate it. Now, it's already been said, City Manager Roger LeDuc said that we need to pass that 1 cent sales tax, everybody. And we really do. Otherwise, it might take a little bit, it's going to take a little bit more time to finally get to that total that we need. But we'll keep trying anyway, and I know that y'all will as well. And so thank you so much for this. Thanks. Anybody want to say anything? Go ahead.
I would just want to thank all of you for a sterling civic project. Thank you very much, and I hope you profited as much from going through the class as the community will be from your having been through the class. So congratulations and thank you.
This concludes our work session. We just had the one issue on the work session.
Can they introduce themselves?
Yes. Why don't we do that? We have time. How about everyone introducing themselves so that we know exactly who is part of the team? Would you?
I'm Heather Raina. I'm with Hitchcock Healthcare. I'm director of rehabilitation services there at Hitchcock.
Okay.
I'm Shonda. I'm there as well.
Kevin Morrison, Ward Parsons.
I'm Gary Rice, in the GS operations.
My name is Gloria Lorenzi. I'm with the Department of Energy.
I'm Pamela Frazier. I'm a wedding manager at SRP Federal Credit Union.
And I'm Cheryl Fogel. I'm with the University of South Carolina, Aiken.
My name is Alicia Almond Parson. I'm with the Department of Energy, and I'm also a board member.
My name is Muriel Hunter. I'm with Aiken Electric Cooperative.
I'm Charles Blanfield with the Peter County Sheriff's Office.
Andrew Hendricks, University of South Carolina, Aiken, and I'm a member of the board for LAC.
I'm Pat Perry. I'm with Security Federal Bank.
All right.
I'm Nicole Simmons with Hitchcock Healthcare and LAC board president.
Well, again, thank you so much for the job you've done. You can stay if you like for the rest of our meeting. It'll start in a few minutes. Isn't that the truth? As we go through our agenda, if there are items on the agenda that you'd like to speak on or have any comments, you certainly may do that as we proceed through this evening. As we start, we will have council prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. And
Almighty God, Creator of this vast universe, we thank you for your complexity. We also thank you for your simplicity. We thank you that we see your handiwork in something as small as a drop of rain. We thank you for how you nurture the plants, how you nurture the trees, how your drop of water does so much more than ours. We see your work in that. We ask that you be here with us tonight. May your presence be felt. We ask that you give us clearness of mind as we debate these issues of our city. Give us oneness of heart, pureness of heart. We ask that you lead, guide, and direct. May the things done in this council chambers tonight be for the betterment of our citizens and our community. We ask these things in your name.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda that we need to change? If not, do we have a motion to approve the agenda as it is?
Mr. Mayor, if I could, please. I would just like to have a discussion regarding the Community Development Committee when we get to...
Okay. Under petitions, we'll just add it there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, anything else? Okay. If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All in favor, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Okay. Under the minutes, consideration of the minutes of the work session and the regular meeting of September 13th, 2010. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of the minutes as written.
Okay.
Second.
We have a second. Any other discussion? Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. We're very fortunate this evening to have two presentations. Both extremely important presentations, and we're always happy when we have a presentation on something perhaps the city's done or that a member of our citizens' citizenship is done, and we cover both of those this evening. And I will ask Roger to cover those items, please.
The first item I'd like to cover is something that it's very special to the city of Aiken. Annually, we look for a project that exemplifies the leadership of our community and submit this to the state organization to allow other cities to see what we are doing here in Aiken. We've been very fortunate that 16 out of the last 18 years we've been able to win the municipal award for excellence. And this year we submitted a project concerning the work that we have done on the north side, specifically Carlson Park. To give a little background, during the 1990s, although Aiken was the third fastest growing city in South Carolina, the north side of Aiken actually decreased in population by around 15%. We recognize the fact that there were many dilapidated houses in ill repair, houses that people couldn't live in, vacant lots, burnt out homes. And so City Council in 2003 recognized this and decided to go ahead and start a renewal project on the north side of Aiken. They bought several lots, built several homes, and out of that came projects in the Edgewood neighborhood, which is just north of Hampton Avenue and east of York Street, in the Tule Hill neighborhood, which is just south of Hampton Avenue behind the county complex. But then recognized also there was another neighborhood, Carlson Park, which over the years was having more and more difficulties. It was a neighborhood of around 550 homes, and over 65% of them were rental property. Homes that during the 50s were the first homes that many of the engineers and scientists and others that built Savannah River site lived in, and was really the crown of our community at that time. The council at that, about a year and a half ago, decided to go ahead and put $1.5 million as seed money in the renewal of that project. We optioned 100 homes. We actually purchased around 35 homes and then started getting grants from the state of South Carolina to refurbish these homes by putting in sodded front yards, redoing the entire kitchen and bathrooms and other areas of the home, actually investing anywhere from $35,000 to $45,000 in each home. Building homes is one thing, but trying to renew neighborhoods, trying to rebuild lives is another thing. So in this particular project, we asked 14 other agencies and nonprofits, 9 churches, 6 different agencies to come together with the city of Aiken to not only to work on those homes, but to go ahead and change lives as we were working on those homes itself. It's made a difference in many individuals' lives. We have sold several of the homes already, and we're well on our way to going ahead and over the next 3 to 5 years renewing 100 to 150 homes in that neighborhood. We're really excited about this award that we got, but most importantly, I feel that staff is excited the fact that it is making a difference in that neighborhood. So tonight, I know that Bill Taylor with the Municipal Association is here tonight to recognize what we did in Crawlsville Park, recognize the mayor and council who backed up this project a year and a half ago to get it started.
Thank you, Roger, and to mayor and members of council, I'm very honored to be here and. In Aiken, I have a strong connection to Aiken. Former city manager Roland Windham was my mentor throughout my career. In fact, about 30 years ago, it was Roland and former Municipal Association Executive Director Don Ray who actually endorsed my membership into the International City and County Management Association. And for that, I was very grateful, and I always called on Roland for his guidance throughout my career. I am one of the new, I'm one of the two field service representatives working for the Municipal Association. We are involved in trying to provide technical assistance and training, and just basically an ambassador for the association, trying to talk about the goods and services and the projects that we have and the programs that are available through the Municipal Association. And certainly Aiken has been a guiding light over the many years, and as Roger said, certainly has come home with a lot of hardware over the years in so many different categories. But I'm very pleased to be here tonight to recognize Aiken for your commitment to what Roger just talked about, revitalization of the Crossland Park neighborhood. We presented this award to at the Municipal Association conference that was held in Charleston on July 17th, and Roger accepted that on behalf of the town. But we'd also like to share this accomplishment with the rest of the city council. As we have just heard, the city of Aiken won this award in the category of public service. Bolstered by other successful neighborhood projects on the north side of town, the city took a big picture approach to make life better for the folks in this area. As you've heard, a task force of coalition members went out to study the neighborhood and make recommendations on how to achieve stability. Using the input from the residents, the group created a plan to make these improvements. The city put up the money necessary to buy and renovate up to 150 homes. Unemployed workers helped restore the houses and make them energy efficient. The city added new streetlights and sidewalks, and with the coalition, the city started life skills classes, a youth leadership program, after-school programs, a chess club, and street parties, among other activities. What could have just been a simple public safety project became a comprehensive effort to improve the quality of life for the city's north side residents. This project in the city of Aiken is a great example of what happens when local elected officials like yourselves and residents work together to improve the safety, quality of life, and provide high quality services for their community. And as Roger mentioned, one purpose of this Achievement Awards program over the years is really to share great ideas like this with other cities around our state. And that's just what happened when we had over 300 local officials at the breakfast showing this the video presentation about the program at the Municipal Association conference in July. And I know that Roger was proud to accept the award on behalf of the city, and I'm pleased to be able to share it with you again. So on behalf of the Municipal Association, congratulations again for winning the 2010 Municipal Achievement Award. I'd like to present the cup to the mayor.
Congratulations once again.
Thank you all very much.
On behalf of this, our City Council, I accept. Thank you, Bill, for being with us and for the work that you're doing with the Municipal Association. I also want to thank City Manager Roger LaDuke for his leadership in this and the staff and all of those who may be here. Is anyone here that worked on this? Lisa's not here, I guess, but how about some others? Anybody happen to be here? Of our staff? Okay. I guess not. They're all still working, I think. That's a good thing. But this is a wonderful thing, and we certainly appreciate it. And I can recall moving into Crossland Park back in 1953, as a matter of fact, when that was an extremely nice-looking place among what we had in Aiken at that point in time. And I'm so glad that our City Council and staff have worked on this project and decided to do something about it to hopefully bring it back up to standard and perhaps a little bit above that as well. So we certainly appreciate all the work that the staff has done and thank Council for their support along the way as well. And appreciate it very much. Thank you, Bill, again.
The second recognition we'd like to have tonight is a real special award. We don't have a chance to recognize our citizens as much as we'd like to. And tonight, at a meeting that was held just a couple of weeks ago, an individual was presented with the Citizen Lay Volunteer Award with the South Carolina Recreational Association. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Glenn. I know he has a little video here that probably, as they say, a little video speaks a thousand words.
Thank you, Roger. PRT's very blessed to have very good staff, great employees, but on any given night, there's just hundreds of folks out there that aren't on staff, that are volunteers, that are coaching soccer teams or handing out cookies at Christmas in Hopelands or running a golf program. And tonight, we're fortunate to recognize one of those. And I am going, if I can get this to come up for me, we're going to show a quick video that was presented at the conference 2 weeks ago.
John, don't turn the lights off because it takes about 15 minutes to come back on.
And we'd be in the dark.
We're getting cute today.
We don't want to be in the dark.
Volunteers in Aiken. Since retiring from the Savannah River site, Joe has dedicated his time and efforts to a variety of community projects in Aiken. Some of these efforts include the fundraising of over $200,000 toward the renovation of the Wyndham Performing Arts Stage, serving since 2002 as president of the Aiken Junior Sports Association, where Joe was instrumental in developing the Aiken Hook a Kid on Golf and Aiken's Croquet Kids program. This program was recognized in 2006 as the National Site of the Year out of 250 Hook a Kid on Golf clinics across the country. He served as chairman of the Friends of Hopelands and Rye Patch during the development of their first long-range plan and the initial implementation of that plan. Joe has also served Aiken as a JC, a Sertoma, where he served as chair for the Palmetto Amateur Golf Tournament, with the March of Dimes, as club president and chairman of the Finance Committee of the Palmetto Golf Club, the South Carolina Junior Golf Association Foundation Board of Directors, on the board of directors of the Green Mountain, as a board member of the Police Athletic League, and in his earlier days as a scout leader for Troop 110 Weeblos, president of the Aiken Swim Association, and a member of the Aiken Regional Hospital Board of Directors. Joe has also served the nation and state as a member of the American Nuclear Society, Phi Eta Sigma, the Westinghouse Engineering Advisory Council, and the National Management Association. Joe also served on the South Carolina Governor's Nuclear Advisory Council. Mrs. Ruth Ann Lucius, current president of the Friends of Hopelands and Rye Patch, says, Joe did much to enhance the excellent relationship we have with the city and this unique working relationship with volunteers in government. He was always available to the members of the organization and to the city officials that we work with. Dr. Spencer is one of the many great volunteers around the state who work in conjunction with park and recreation agencies and civic clubs to help develop and provide better programming opportunities and facilities. The residents and guests who visit Aiken are very blessed that Joe chose to move to Aiken in 1967, chose to raise his family in Aiken, and now chooses to spend his volunteer time working for the youth and citizens of Aiken. Tonight, we recognize Dr. Joseph Spencer.
For the 2010 SCRPA Citizen Lay Award, Dr. Joseph Spencer.
Those were some very kind words that were said there, and I truly was very surprised at the presentation at Hilton Head until I saw the first slide, which had some shots of Savannah Row site, and I knew I was in trouble then. But, it mentioned about the city being blessed. I feel like I was very blessed in my family to luckily have the opportunity to come to work here at Aiken and grow up and raise children here. It's been a wonderful community. I've gotten tremendous support from my wife and family for all of these activities over the years. And I've always kind of thinking back that one of the things that's made Aiken very special was I kind of relate back to the Savannah River site when it came here. And I think there were so many educated and interested women that came in as part of that, and most of them were not working other than in the home front, and they had so much energy they put into this community. And you look at the wide breadth of civic activities that were started there and have been supported by many more people over the years, as of course represented by members here. But I think the whole community has had a tremendous interest and support of partnering between the city and its elected officials and its staff, such as Roger and Glenn and Larry Morris, and working with the people here. But thank you very much. I appreciate the recognition. And so it's really a privilege to live in a community such as Aiken.
Julian. Joe, I just want to say again on behalf of the City Council, and they can speak for themselves, but words can hardly describe what you've meant to this community. There's no doubt about it. And we've seen some of the things tonight, and I know you've been involved in even more. And you and your family have been just so instrumental in our community in so many different ways. And you're just a wonderful person of integrity, honesty, and all of those good character traits that we all would like to be, you know, and strive for. And so just thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for what you've done in the community.
Joe, this is Leslie, and we go back quite a ways with Savannah Riverside. And what I've been most intrigued with you about is your expertise in the nuclear field. Your brain, the salt, and the knowledge, a wealth of knowledge around the country. But yet you managed to have that part of it, but yet devote your time to children, giving back in that area, which is so much needed. And I've been most intrigued and impressed with that over the years, the unselfishness that you've given with your time and your talent in that area with our children, and them seeing you as that model in that area, knowing your breadth of knowledge in the physics and chemistry and all those areas, but yet it's been our children. So I thank you personally for what you've given back. So.
Joe, your family has been so supportive, of course, of you and to our city, and our family has known Mildred and family for many years. Would you be kind enough to introduce each one? I'm afraid I might not get some of the names right, but if you want to do that, would you please do it? It'd be an honor for us to hear them. Okay, well, thank you again. And thank you again, Joe, for... Thank you.
It's just amazing, Mr. Mayor, how some of the busiest people in our community find time to give so much back.
That's right. They just get busier, don't they?
Yes.
Brilliant. Under old business, the first item is appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, we have two reappointments tonight to our boards and commissions. Councilmember Ebner would like to reappoint John Brookshire to the Recreation Commission, and Councilmember Homoki would like to recommend the reappointment of Stephen Peterson to the General Aviation Commission.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second on those appointments?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Second,
okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, I also would want to point out that Derek Martin, my appointee to the Recreation Commission, because of work commitments, has had to resign, so I am looking for a replacement for him.
Okay, all right. Are there other renominations, if you will, to be on the agenda next meeting?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to recommend the reappointment of Suzanne Hassler to the Recreation Commission, please.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to recommend the reappointment of John Owen to the Aviation Commission.
Okay. I have one also, Eugene McKee, Community Development Committee. Any others? Okay, they will be on our agenda then for next meeting. Item 2 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to revise the concept plan for the village at Woodside. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title only. It's an ordinance amending the concept plan for property located in Woodside Plantation. When the village was originally planned and the plans were given to the city of Aiken, the signage for that particular area was left off. The council has, in accordance with the last sentence of the zoning ordinance on page 4-35, it states that city council should have the authority to modify any proposed signage as part of the concept plan approval. We talked about the various signs at the last meeting and how the size and the type of material would make a difference in this particular area. Council did unanimously approve it at that point in time. You did ask that there would be a condition at the first meeting that the Property Owners Association would maintain all these signs in the future, and they are going to try to move as many of these signs as possible onto private right-of-way, where, again, it would not interfere with anything else. So this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve revisions to the concept plan for the Village at Woodside signage.
Okay, thank you, sir. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this, this is second reading and public hearing. You may certainly do so.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Pat Cunning, 113 Mulberry. I don't need to go into this in full detail. Kent Baldwin has a conflict tonight. That's why I'm here. I know you wanted to hear me speak again, Leslie. And David Siebel's here with the signage. Councilwoman Clyburn had requested that we try to keep these signs out of the right-of-way. We would like to keep the signs in the right-of-way, but we will work with Larry Morris and Chief Fromer to adjust their locations. We feel the directional signs, Mr. Mayor, need to be somewhat near the right-of-way so you can see where you're going as far as that goes. But we will shift anyone that can be, and we put flags up before we build them so Larry and the Chief can actually look at them, and we'll shift them wherever possible out of the right-of-way. We will maintain these signs. We'll make sure the POA will maintain them in the future. We also will work with the city attorney in any wording needed to protect the city as far as these signs. So I don't need to go any further. I think the first presentation speaks for why we wanted this, and I think it does follow in the PR zone within your purview to be able to do this. Be glad to answer any questions, and David will be glad to show the signs, anything you need.
Mm-hmm. And Pat, as we discussed last first meeting, you see these signs as really necessary for the development of the village.
Sir. And I think to further reiterate, I mean, this is a development which is part of a 3,000-acre development, but it's also the village itself is almost 80 acres, a good bit of a green space, but we need directional signs. I mean, go out there and look at it. The hospital is fixing open their imaging center, which is a beautiful building. Right. It's going to be a 12,000-square-foot facility out there, and directional signs are needed. We have DOE out there right now, and there's a lot of, there's going to be 239,000 square feet of all types of uses out there, plus the residential. So it's exactly what the PR zone is called for. So that's why we need it.
David, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, David Sewell, 957 Oleander Drive. I'm in charge of all business development with the village. Just in short, some of the businesses that have located in the village have been very adamant and about us getting some form of signage to help their businesses. And some of these businesses previously were not in the city of Aiken, and we'd like to continue to grow that. So from an actual, four businesses that I can think of have actually made formal complaints to me regarding the signage. So.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, I went out today and I looked at the directional signs that are there. Are these the ones that you plan to leave where they are?
No, we have not put up any of these.
What are the signs that are out there now?
Those are just those signs that you look in front of the buildings will be replaced. The other signs that are out there are not. Those will all come down. That you have some for sale signs and directional signs as far as open houses and whatever, but those are all temporary. The big wooden sign that's out there now will come down. So really, there's none of these signs. At least David, that's
correct. Yes, if you're out there today, there is there's temporary signs throughout the village. There's a temporary what we call, I guess, a monument sign at the entrance of mm-hmm. Village Green Boulevard and Silver Bluff Road. Mm-hmm. That would come down, and the brick one and wrought iron one would replace that one. As you drive down Village Green Boulevard, there is a couple temporary directional signs as we speak today. We feel the need that those are not accomplishing you know, the goal of the directionals. That's where we went with some of these brick designs as well. And a part of the plan, there's also what we would call like an area sign, which may be the medical campus, the retail corridor, the residential area, and then obviously all the businesses would have, you know, on their building itself a building sign. That's the comprehensive plan. I don't know if that answers your question, but any signs you saw out there today, when we you know, put this plan into place, all of those will be removed.
Compared to where they are now, where are they going to go?
I think if you look at your at the overall plan, the directional signs go basically in Village Green Boulevard, which is the main corridor coming in. It goes all the way through to the gate. The other signage, Beverly, which are basically on the buildings, I don't think those are the those would be the issues at all, because those are actually on private property. The only real issue here is the directional signs that you'll have coming in that that will act as the post. Actually, these are very similar, Reggie, to the signs that we have in Woodside now. They're brick, and we wanted the same design and something that's fairly substantial.
Yes, Pat, they're very similar in nature, and there are a number of them in the neighborhood already.
In which neighborhood? The Woodside?
Yes, in Woodside Development, yes. And that's all in the PR, as Pat said earlier.
Yeah, it's the reason for the, and this was all designed by the architect. It's a way that you have a design that flows through the whole village, which is what PR represents. I think the whole point is the brick color, the color of the signs, and everything has to be coordinated. And that's to be honest with you, like I said at the last meeting, and I think Roger, you pointed this out, was that had we presented us with the plan to start with, we wouldn't have had to come back, but we really did not know what type of signs, where they would actually go or whatever at that point.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
Motion to amend.
Yes. Okay.
I move to approve the revision of the concept plan for Village of Woodside sign.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Item 3 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance rezoning 181 Buford Street from light industrial to general business. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by its title only. It's an ordinance to rezone certain property consisting of 1.04 acre of land owned by Keaton Patel from light industrial LI to general business GB. This piece of property, they're planning on putting a convenience store on. He has a couple other locations in town. However, just as a precursor to this, that once you do rezone it to general business, it is general business, and any type of item could go on that piece of property that fits within the general business category. There were several suggestions made in the traffic study. They're listed on your sheet here. All four of those they do intend to comply with. And so this also is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone property at 181 Buford Street from light industrial to general business.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing. So if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so.
Is anyone here from the...
If not, I don't see anyone here representing.
I'll move for approval of this, Mr. Mayor.
Well, back to City Council for discussion, for motion. Excuse me.
Second.
We have a motion and a second, okay? Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 4, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to revise the annexation of Lacey Cosmetology School. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. Again, I'm reading this by its title. It's an ordinance to amend ordinance number 06-22-2009. On June 22, 2009, City Council approved the Lacey Cosmetology with the provision that within 180 days they would bring a plan to the department
that matched up with what council approved. Due to several different reasons, but primarily financial, they were not able to move forward the project as quickly as they hoped to. They have now given us that plan. The planning department has no problem with the changes that were made. However, because they did have the 180-day clause in there, we need to revise this ordinance that we had in 2009, which occurred 15 months ago, to allow him to go ahead and fulfill the obligation of bringing the concept plan in. Council did approve this at their last meeting. This will give him till March 15th to meet any other obligations he would with the planning department. If you approve this to amend the annexation agreement for the 5-acre tract of land on University Parkway near Arbor Court.
Okay. Thank you, sir. This is the second reading public hearing also of this ordinance, and if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'll move we approve second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to revise the annexation of Lacey Cosmetology School.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 5 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance revising the Aiken City Code concerning the abatement of nuisances and dwellings unfit for human habitation. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have two ordinances in front of you tonight. The first one is an ordinance revising Chapter 10 of the Aiken City Code to amend Section 10-4 to dwelling units unfit for human habitation. And the accompanying one is an ordinance revising Chapter 10 of the Aiken City Code to include Section 10-11 to govern the abatement of nuisances. We've been discussing this issue for quite some time due to the fact that we've had, over the years, several structures that got delayed in completion for various reasons. We've also had situation where lots needed to be cleaned up, and we spent a great deal of time to get the owner to eventually comply, many times having to go to court, and then they would comply within a reasonable period of time, but it again took a lot of staff time and effort to get us to where we needed to be. This is an ordinance that we will not take lightly, and as I mentioned to you on many occasions, when we start up a brand new regulation, if we see within a reasonable period of time that we need to revisit this, we could always go back and modify it once it's in place, because there's a lot of new information here that we have taken from Aiken County, revisions based on some new state law that we have. We do have in here also a monitoring fee that if once we have given notice to a homeowner or somebody who owns a lot that needs to be cleaned up and we have to keep going back and monitor on a regular basis, there would be a charge for that. So again, we feel this is a good ordinance to get us started to where we believe we all need to go. And if we find out in the future that modifications need to be made, we could always come back at a later date to revisit it. Council did approve this at their first reading on September 13th. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to revise Chapter 10-4, the Aiken City Code concerning dwelling units unfit for human habitation, and 10-11 to govern the abatement of nuisances.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing, so if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so.
John Lee. I need some clarification on the part that says morals on this, on the heading, and then in section 10-4, number 7, morals of occupants of such dwellings, and then in 11, on 9 and 10, and address 10 first on morals of occupants of such dwellings. How do you determine the morals of occupants? Who's going to determine those, and how are you going to judge someone on that?
John, tell us the pages, if you would.
Page 132 yeah. In your package. Mm-hmm. Up at the top of the page, there's a paragraph number 7, and You know, John, Ben's not here tonight. Ben is he's the fellow that put this together. I suspect this language came straight out of the state statute and was part of the, you know, legislation that was passed. And I suspect he copied a lot of this language, and that's why it's in there. Without Ben being here, I can't give you a straight answer on that. But it would be the determination of the police officer as to what was going on within the resident and that sort of thing. Obviously, he's going to have a reason to be in there. He can't just walk into a residence unless there's something going on outside that gives him the opportunity to go inside. So it's not like he's going to be in there seeing what kind of television programming you're watching or things like that. You know, it would have to be something along the lines of not adequately taking care of children, having, you know, illicit activities going on that would otherwise be illegal, those kinds of things. It's not what kind of religion are you practicing and that sort of thing.
Well, maybe it should be reworded of probable cause to go in then and not morals, because...
Well, they've got to have probable cause to go in anyway. I mean, you don't have to put that in the ordinance. They can't just walk into a house.
Okay. I just have major problems with a moral issue on that being too broad, and also in the body of some of this, where five citizens of the city of Aiken can call, I don't know if it'd be call attention to a problem or alert.
I thought we took that language out. What page are you looking at?
Yeah, I don't know that I've got that one marked here, so it may take me a minute to find it.
That was actually my comment. I had that same comment. I think that particular paragraph came out, John.
Okay, well, where I saw it is what I printed off the website before the meeting, and it was also within the same paragraph of or in that same part where the city building official could make that determination. Do you know where that it's listed?
Page 132, paragraph C2, right in the middle, that whenever a petition is filed with a building official by a public authority or by at least five residents of the city. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
I know we had talked about taking that provision out. I would agree with Mr. Wade on that particular issue. We do need to take that particular provision out. You have a gang effect of if you just go petition your neighbors and say, hey, we don't like this person, so let's get the city to come and run them out of the neighborhood. That was my concern. I'm assuming that was your concern as well.
Well, it is a concern there, the five people creating that, but it's still my main concern is the wording of the morals.
I agree with you.
Yes,
I think it's too broad. I think it needs to be better defined than just that, the way it's stated.
Well,
I don't know that there would be a problem. I don't necessarily disagree with what John's saying about the clause that says morals of the occupants of such dwelling.
Can we eliminate?
We can eliminate that particular clause.
Well, hold off. Then read the entire paragraph. And how would a citizen or a group of citizens concerned about an unfit structure in their neighborhood, how would they have recourse?
Through planning.
I mean, all this says...
A citizen can always call a public official.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. This is a public official, or when five people get together. This isn't five people convicting anybody. This isn't five people making the final decision. This is five people that end up with a demand that the building inspector look at it.
Well, that's not hard to find.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. Yes.
The way I read it, it's almost like a taking by the city government.
It is.
Is there any kind of judicial process involved? Basically, what we're saying is we can go in and if we don't like the place, we just demolish it. Am I wrong?
You have to go through a process with a citation, and I mean, there will be a legal process involved.
there's a legal process.
Yes, sir.
To go to court.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it says that there'll be a hearing in that paragraph.
Mr. Mayor, in the original draft that we got to read or as for information, it did have a clause in there that probably came from several decades ago that one citizen could swear out a warrant to the judicial official, and that came out of there for sure, because that wouldn't work very well in today, as Mr. Wade is saying, and that did come out of there.
Yeah.
And I think one thing for sure, we could get Mr. Moore to review this, but he specifically mentioned last time that he had followed the state statutes. So, but a review of that would be fine with me, but we sure want to stay with the state statutes, and I know he upgraded it from my conversation with him.
Yeah, yeah. School me on how the state statute works, Sam. If you're a governing body, why do you have to follow state statute?
Well, I can't answer
because
that.
Because the city cannot pass laws that are contrary to state law. The language morals of the occupants of such dwelling, to me that's such ambiguous language. I wouldn't know how to enforce that, frankly, unless I wanted to impose my own personal morals on somebody else.
Now we're on
so,
the same page.
You know, so I mean that is an ambiguous statement, and I don't think there's any problem taking that kind of language out. What I was going to suggest is just delete the words morals of the occupants of such dwelling, and then after the comma, insert the word of. So really what it would, paragraph 7 on page 132 would read, other conditions rendering such dwellings unsafe, insanitary, dangerous, injurious, or detrimental to the health, safety of the occupants of neighboring dwellings, or otherwise inimical to the welfare of the residents of the city. In other words, the condition of the place had to have some kind of negative impact on neighboring properties and that sort of thing.
Mr. Mayor, looking at paragraph C2 on 132 again, I don't see any court of law involved in here. The hearing is in front of a building official or his designated agent at a place of their choosing. To me, it seems like it's a non-judicial hearing. And how can a non-judicial hearing come up and take property from somebody or destroy property or task somebody to be spending money? Somehow or another, I may be wrong, maybe it's somewhere else, but I just don't see, I personally wouldn't want to be in a hearing in front of a building official. That's like anybody else on the street. I mean, it's not anybody that had a judicial authority. Are we conveying judicial authority to our building officials, which I think is probably not a non-starter?
Listen, folks, all we're doing is giving ourselves the authorization to deal with an unfit dwelling. We're not asking our building official to decide that it's unfit. We're just giving him the process to bring it to a hearing and let the owner of the unfit dwelling state his or her case, and the city state their case, and we go from there. I mean, there's nothing. The whole purpose of us doing this ordinance is to be able to deal with these kind of issues. Let's not make it more difficult on ourselves than we need to.
It does set forth
the. But it does say in paragraph 3, if after such notice and hearing, I assume you do that, the building official determines that the dwelling under consideration is unfit, et cetera, et cetera. We're still giving that building official, I think, judicial authority, which I don't think the.
I don't know that. I quibble with the word of judicial. We're giving him the authority to deal with the issue, yes, but. I mean, judicial, he can't sentence the person to jail. He can just declare the house unfit.
If you go to page 134.
Excuse me. Well, yeah, but let me go back. I mean, we're talking about section 10.4,
yes,
repairing, closing, or demolishing unfit dwellings. After all, or one, the city may exercise its police powers to repair, close, or demolish any such dwelling in a manner herein. Is it the city us, or is it the city the building officials? Or is it the judicial? There's nothing in here that says you got to go to court before you take any property from anybody.
I think
I may be wrong. I mean, but I thought the Constitution applied even to the city.
Well, it does. We're not taking somebody's property.
It says so right here. The city may exercise its police powers to repair, close, or demolish any such dwelling in a manner herein provided. And herein provided is purely appearing in front of a building.
But that wasn't taking. That was repairing.
But that's after a determination has been made that that building is unsafe.
It doesn't say so.
Insanitary. That's what you have to find all of that, all of those things that are in the paragraph above.
If you go to page 134,
you have to find all the things in paragraph B in order for the building official to make that determination.
Yeah, but it's still a building official.
Well, what you say, Beverly?
But then go to page 134, section F, rights of persons affected by orders.
It does provide
it
the opportunity.
It tells you that they can petition the circuit court.
Any aggrieved person who thinks they shouldn't have to tear their building down, and you got to remember this would be a building. You know, in order for this building to be detrimental to the building next door to it, I mean, it's got to be in really, really bad shape. We're not just talking about a broken window. It would have to be something extremely serious.
Is it not what we're doing with the Demetrius building, where we're going in and repairing the windows because they're causing a hazard?
Yes.
So it's the same thing. If we didn't have...
Well, I venture to say if the Demetrius building decided to go to court, they could probably knock it down for lack of authority. Or
bring it on.
We would have to go to court. If we feel there's something unsafe about that building before we can dictate to somebody to spend money, which you're basically taking money from somebody. You can't do that without a judicial...
I don't agree, but anyway.
Mr. Mayor, if it would help the council tonight with your determination on this ordinance and having worked with Staff Attorney Moore and, of course, your city attorney, the reason you see this going before the building official is that's the procedure that's set up under the International Building Code. You have a building official who oversees construction of buildings. But then we have a property maintenance official, Phil Noah, who actually investigates the conditions of building. When the property maintenance inspector actually finds problems, the building official under the International Building Code becomes the hearing officer. So you are correct. It's not a judicial officer. It's just an administrative hearing officer. And that's why you see in the other sections of the code that if someone does not agree with the building official's determination, so Phil Noah, property condition inspector, takes it before the building official issues an order. If there's a concern with that, then the property maintenance inspector would go to the city solicitor to then bring an action in city court, because under your city code, your city court judge has the right to abate nuisances. So that's why it's in it. That would make it a criminal action at that time. Initially, it's just an action to get the property cleaned up, where the building official makes a determination of what minimal standard would bring that building back into compliance.
Richard, when did we slip from a civil case to a criminal case?
That in this code that you have right now, the way Ben has drafted it, if the property inspector feels it's an appropriate case for criminal prosecution, he would have to go to the city solicitor and then bring it into city court. That would make it a livability court case, those livability court sessions we talked about.
That's what he said.
Where we look at just fixing the problem as opposed to going to jail. So there are just some choices in the enforcement in our discussions, and what we heard from our inspector is they were kind of like a toolbox with tools in it, not just a hammer. So, you know, because as Roger mentioned in his initial remarks, we had a fairly cumbersome process, and we were trying to come up with ways to deal with problems so they wouldn't languish as we've seen some do in the past.
I still feel we shouldn't be giving judicial powers to non-judicial entities.
And again, that's a council policy decision. You currently have the building official who hears nuisance cases, whether it's grown-up weeds or broken-out windows that need repair. That system is currently in place, and we've been operating under that for quite some time, many years.
Well, I understand that. I mean, a public safety officer can give you a ticket for speeding, but if you contest it, you go to court.
That's right. And again,
and basically, if you don't contest it, you basically went to court because you're agreeing and you waive your right to go to court. Now, that's a little different from somebody, doing a taking for a property violation of some sort or some manner, shape, or form.
And Mr. Hamoki, if this would help, I mean, there actually is a hearing before the building officials. So there's a notice of a hearing. I mean, it's not just the property inspector goes into Mike Jordan's office and says, look, issue an order. They actually have a hearing before the building official. And in the Pettus Liquor Store case, we had an attorney who represented the owner who appeared at a hearing. And there was a discussion and then an order that issued. So it's not like an officer writing a ticket in that sense. There's actually an administrative hearing. So if the owner, for example, of Pettus Liquors did not like the result, then they could petition for judicial review at that point.
What authority do you have to invite the individual to a hearing? I mean, we can go back and back on this. I mean, if you're not giving an order, if you're not citing somebody, why do you invite somebody? It's like somebody inviting me downtown to go to traffic court because I think I'm going to give you a ticket.
It's a hearing notice. It's different than a traffic ticket because it's not necessarily a criminal matter at that point. It is a nuisance that needs abatement or a property that needs to be brought up to that minimal standard. So there's either a notice letter or, if necessary, an ordinance summons, because this will be a city ordinance.
Yeah, I'm not going to take up more time. I agree with the intent. I just have a little problem with giving authority to a building official as such. We give them some kind of a...
It is authority that the building official already has. We're already doing this and have been for years.
If it would help...
Is that specifically written in his job description, or is it
yes.
the city ordinance?
Yes.
It is enforcement of the city ordinance. It's in building codes.
We have to take a look at that, too.
If it would help council, we could continue this until Mr. Moore could be with us.
At
the next meeting, if you want to do that.
I think we should.
Okay, because there are obviously several questions and comments to be made.
You're not going to be at the next meeting?
No, I'm not. Could we defer to...
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, we'd like to see this deferred to the second meeting in October.
Yeah.
That'll be on the...
28th.
And, Mr. Mayor, you will not be here at
I will
that
not
time,
be here for that meeting. No.
If that makes a difference.
No. Well, I have utmost confidence in those who will be here to handle this matter appropriately.
I'll take care of it.
Do we have a motion and a second to continue this?
I so move, Mr. Mayor, that we continue this.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
October 25th.
October 25th. Okay, all in favor? Show of hands, please. Okay, passes unanimously to continue. Okay. Very good. A good discussion. Thank you, John, for your comments. Okay, new business. Item 1, approval of the deed of dedication of the roadway known as Pascalis Place. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, City Council, as you are all aware, have from time to time accepted water, sewer, road, storm drainage, etc., so that the city could start maintaining it to serve the citizens within those areas. We wait a certain period of time before we accept these various elements. The first one before you tonight is the Pascalis Place roadway. It was built in 2006 and has been maintained by the developer since that time. Our engineering staff has made an inspection. Some minor repairs were made to that roadway, and we are now ready to bring this before City Council as an acceptance for the deed of dedication for the Pascalis Place roadway. So you have before you a resolution accepting this deed of dedication from Gibeon Development Group, LLC, for Pascalis Place roadway.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? It passes unanimously. Item 2 is approval of a deed of dedication for the lift station and utilities at the Ridge at Chucker Creek Phase 1. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, just like the last one, this is in the Ridge at Chucker Creek. This includes all the utilities out there, including a lift station for the Ridge at Chucker Creek. They found no deficiencies. The lines were tested. They've been approved by DHEC, and therefore we are recommending the resolution, which is attached, for the sewer lines, lift station, water lines, their easements from FPA Incorporated, located at the Ridge at Chucker Creek Phase 1.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Just clarification, water lines does include stormwater in this particular case? It's addressed to Mr. LeDoux. That's the assumption I make when I see the, I don't see them segregated between potable water and stormwater.
In looking at the resolution, it does not mention stormwater in this whatsoever. And those might be coming to us with the roadway at a later date.
And the deed doesn't mention it either. The deed talks about the lift station, ingress and egress easement, a sewer easement, a forced main easement, and a water easement.
So this would be a sanitary sewer, but not stormwater.
Okay. And I think from our previous discussion that we can do that, and then stormwater drain lines come later on.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Don, you wanted to discuss an item on the petition?
Yes, sir, I did. I wanted to discuss the Community Development Committee, which I have had an appointee for for a little over a year now, who has very serious health issues, thought he would be able to come back, and actually has gone into some transplant, and I think is doing well. But nonetheless, I was moving on and had talked with someone regarding the Community Development Committee and being my appointee to that. They had given them neighborhood's number. They called, and it's my understanding that this committee is not meeting at this time, or they have nothing to do at this time, which was told to the person to whom I had sent inquiring. And I just wanted to find out if anyone knew the status of this committee. I mean, is it from the standpoint of funding that available now?
No, the Community Development Committee helps to administer the funding that we get from the Community Development Block Grant. We're currently receiving about $220,000. We used to receive a lot more in grant funding. There was a lot that the committee did to determine what happened with the funding. And so they, at one time, about 4 or 5 years ago, were meeting monthly. We then went to quarterly, and according to the state laws, they only need to meet at least once a year, and that's to go ahead and take the money that we have allocated from HUD and determine how those funds should be allocated, so much for emergency repairs, so much for neighborhood initiatives, etc. And so they generally meet in the spring for that formal meeting, and then they come together as needed, but no more than quarterly at this point in time. And that has been a committee that's been, because of those changes and trying to determine what the role is of the committee members. We tried to at one time get them involved in some of the neighborhood issues. Specifically, we were looking at Carlson Park. Some of the committee members wanted to get involved very deeply in those areas. Some did not. So there was a decision of the overall committee to continue looking at the funding and how the funds should be spent, and then to look at any major issues that could come up in the future. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. We, if council agrees, we need to go into executive session for personnel.
Could I just say I want to thank the city manager for putting the Information Technology Division and the Neighborhood Development Service fact sheets in with our packet. Lets us keep track of what's going on. I realize that these dollar dumpsters are much more available than might otherwise be the case, so I can use that information when I go to neighborhood meetings. So thank you for putting that in. And I would move we go into executive session.
Okay.
And to discuss a personnel matter?
Yeah, to discuss a personnel matter. Did we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Okay, all in favor, show of hands, please. Okay, pass this unanimously. Okay.
See you, Gary. Thank you.
Would you like for me to stay for this?
Is this a record executive session?
Well,
I told him it really wasn't necessary.